What's up, universe? This is your host, JJ, again with Power and Grace Radio. Today, I'm joined by the Duke Burke. We chat a little bit about the new regional announcements, the new lines that are drawn, the new four-person team, and a little bit more. Enjoy. Mr. Duke, what's up?
Nothing, man. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. Judging by your headwear, looks like it might be chilly where you're at.
Yeah, like took a turn for the worse yesterday. Monday morning, it was 63 at 7 a.m. and it was like 31 by 5 p.m.
Nice.
So, yeah, we've taken a turn for the worse. We're in the 20s now, so it's actually starting to feel like Christmas. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we went from a solid on Monday in Texas, it was actually 80 degrees.
Oh, so
solid you guys December. Are just, but now, yeah, now we're in the 40s and everybody's freaking out.
Yeah, there was like a blizzard just north of us, I guess. So, I mean, things are starting to get to that point of the winter where you never know what's going to happen.
Right. All right. So we got some changes happening in the CrossFit world, and I haven't had a chance to talk about it. Whereas, since Dave Castro threw down the new stuff happening around the world, I guess – number one is we redraw regional lines again. What do you think about it?
I think they did some good things. Overall, I was looking for some bigger changes just based off of how he was releasing it. Like, I think he made it seem like he was going to add this thing that was really going to change everything up, which if I was maybe from a different part of the country, maybe if I was from California or the West Regional, maybe I would think these were a bigger deal. But I was kind of hoping for, like, maybe a second online qualifier like they do for the Masters. Say, like, the top 50 from each region goes, and then you kind of qualify from there. And then so when he kind of came out with this, I was kind of like, meh. I thought he had more in him.
Yeah.
But I think the team changes are the best portion.
For sure.
I think going to four people, I mean, the team series clearly is kind of a – trying that out with the online qualifier, and then I think the invitational has been a pretty good tryout for them as far as teams of four.
Yeah, we're just talking about the team move. I think number one, it's a marketing standpoint. I mean, when you have like six people on the floor, like from a viewer standpoint, like it just looks like a cluster, right? Like there's this shit going on everywhere. It's hard to see exactly where, like, you know, you're trying to figure out who's doing what and pick out the names that you want to follow. And with, you know, 10 teams of six on one competition floor, it's a little hectic. And then you see how smooth an invitational is when you have like four people, you know, moving with one workout. It seems a lot easier.
Well, I mean, yeah, when we were at the games this year, 10 teams on the floor at the same heat with six people, 60 people is just way too much. Like you have no idea who's doing what. I was kind of hoping, too, when they went to teams of four, they were going to get rid of the worm. But it feel like they used it at the Invitational. So I guess we're probably going to have to watch people do more worm thrusters and burpees over the worm.
Dude, I mean, is great at Dave Castro as his programming, he can't get away from it.
No, his team thing is completely reliant on the worm. And it ruins – I mean, I feel like they're getting individuals there, like Froning's in it, and all – people are going to, I think – join the team way more now, especially as teams of four. Should be easier to get a team together. So hopefully he's kind of steps up his programming game again with the teams, because I'm tired of watching the worm.
It's not fun to watch, for sure.
It's no.
So boring.
No.
Back and forth. But yeah, it's a big deal. It was funny. I think we're gonna, obviously the competition just elevated, right? Like it's no big secret that the hardest part of putting together a team is the third girl, right? Like
oh, of course.
Like that's where we're at, right? And sometimes it's the third guy for sure. Like if you have a strong women's team, that can happen. But either way that it swings, that's the hard part. And so now you've just made it completely easier to put together a stronger team. You know, if you're that gym sitting out there, and you know you have the four strong people, and you've been trying for 2 years to get another recruit, and now you're like, oh, you don't have to. Then competition for teams just got way harder.
Well, way harder, and I think, I mean, people, it's going to be easier to get that one person to move to make your team of three a better team of four. And I also think that, like, teams that have established themselves because they had three good girls may fall off the map now that they only have to rely on two.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see who emerges and then what teams kind of fall off. Because if you had three solid girls, just like you said, you're ahead of the game, regardless of what three guys you had. Now, when it's two girls versus two guys, it's going to be interesting to see what teams, A, emerge, and B, whichever ones that you're used to seeing at the games and at the regional, like, just completely fall off.
Yeah. Man, the Cookeville memes that followed, though, may have been my favorite part of the announcement. I think, like, 3 minutes after he said it, somebody had put all the people on Team Mayhem on a Survivor television show poster. And, like, I was like, that's so brilliant and everything.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see who they put on what team, because I know they just had a girl move in.
A week before.
Well, they had the Tasia girl move in, but then a girl who was on OC3 last year just moved in this week.
Yeah.
So they got their fourth girl, and I know their four guys, from what I've read, are going to be Froning, Hewitt, Hunsucker, and then that Angelo, the teenage champion, DeChico, whatever, however you pronounce it. So, I mean, they're going to be pretty solid, but I just don't think, like, a gym getting two teams, it's going to be interesting to see.
I mean, a B team's a B team, right? Like, if you're not on Froning's team, you're not going to win, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, you're automatically in second place before you start.
Like, I mean, clearly he's not going to be like, hey, let's just make two good teams, so I'll take these people. Right. He's going to be like, he's going to want to win, so he's going to take the best three outside of him. And so I think the other team may be not as good as what maybe people think it could be, but we'll see.
Right, but if your other teams, like, that – you almost got to think, like even though Froning put, like, on there, like, hashtag Dave Castro is a prick, blah, 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 this definitely helps him, right? Because the smaller the team, the more the single individual has an impact, like, no matter how you cut it. And he's still going to be the best individual on the floor when it comes to teams.
Oh, yeah, you would think so. I mean, you have to assume he's going to be probably the favorite or one of the favorites again just because he's in it. But it'll be interesting just because I know – like, a couple years ago at Wadapalooza, he took a team down there, and they got, like, fourth or fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of what other teams emerge, just because I could see clearly he's going to have more of an impact, but it's also going to be interesting because of I think their team overall had, like, the three girls and the three guys who were solid. So it's going to see – I think the two girls on the team are going to be the most important still, even though it's only two and two.
Right. No, it's going to be interesting, and I'm sure gyms around the country, I mean, there's a lot of interesting conversations happening over these next few weeks on, like, how they're going to structure teams and if anybody's leaving. I mean, I know, you know, one athlete that I coach, you know, immediately we had that conversation, and because the week after the announcement, she got called from another gym and was like, hey, it was a gym that's actually a higher level gym. They did better. They both made regionals, but there was a better team and they called her over. And I was like, you know, there's going to be a ton of crappy conversation amongst good training friends, but it's like, do you want to be on a better team or keep your friends? Like, there's going to be a lot of those conversations happening.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of that. Plus, like, if you think about it, in a team gym can bring more of a star studded athlete into their gym, are they going to kind of throw their usual team members out of it and be like, hey, we have a better person. And that's just kind of how the gig is. And I had some friends who had been called to join teams when it was still teams of six, be like, hey, we need another guy. We need another girl. You want to move in, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be interesting to see if those conversations are still happening to say, hey, we want you to still be one of our guys or one of our girls, or are they just going to kind of blow that off now that there's only two and two.
I mean, yeah, the team thing makes it's, I mean, that's professional sports, right? Like, that's like in CrossFit, we have this bond and we train together and rather than that stuff like that. But, like, I mean, you know, the NBA, you get traded tomorrow and you're on a different team. That's what it is, right? Or you get free agency, you look out for yours or you stay loyal. And I think, this is happening in CrossFit now is we're going to see this tough decisions come out. Although nobody has an agent yet, right? We haven't got there yet.
People have managers.
I'm late to the party. I got to get on that. I think you need a manager.
You need a personal manager, probably.
No, I want to become one. I want to be I don't want to actually work out anymore. I just want to be the agent.
Yeah, I know people have like agents that hook them up with sponsors and run their social media and stuff. I feel like you could totally take over somebody's.
Yeah, but I want to know. We got to start talking like contracts with gyms and some stuff. I definitely got to get into that. I got to move into a suit, man. That's where I need to be.
I mean, you could always think about it. Make that run at it.
The first CrossFit. You don't want to join me? I mean, aren't you retired or something? Like, you can.
I am retired. We can totally get this going again.
We'll just make a firm, like, right? Like, we represent CrossFit. Can you imagine? We're just like calling up gyms and be like, excuse me, Mr. Froning. I'm currently representing this athlete who is considering mayhem.
Considering moving.
Considering Cookeville, Tennessee at this time, though lots of options are on the table.
the one comment that really bothered me after they released the new team was people got like super mad that this was going to bring about more super teams, and they were like, well, it's the affiliate cup, it's back to the affiliate. The differentiation between what CrossFit was in 2007 with the affiliate cup versus what it is now. Can we just move on from the fact it's not who has the best affiliates, who can put the best team together? And like you said, it's kind of like professional sport as far as if you want to go individually now, you better be able to concentrate 100% on being an individual athlete. And if you can't, good luck.
Right.
And it's going to be the same thing with teams. I mean, it's not going to be what two and two people can we have that have gone to our affiliate for 16 years to put our team together. It's going to be, hey, I want my affiliate to look good. I want a team that's going to be competitive. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to do stuff. Clearly, Mayhem has that figured out. Like the Wasatch team last year, they didn't all necessarily go to the same gym over and over again for years. No. They kind of all moved together, made it work. So, I mean, if you want to actually win and be competitive, you better be willing to kind of put the whole affiliate cup thing on the back burner and know that, hey, if you don't have a super team, you're going to need to figure out your super team.
Yeah, I mean, it's the evolution of every other sport that's a team sport. I mean, that's how that, you know, it starts with friends that are playing this fun game, and then all of a sudden the sport becomes a pro sport and people want to win and there's money involved and sponsorships involved, and that's how super teams happen.
I'm just waiting for when Power and Grace is going to put their super team together. But
Power and Grace team. Oh, man.
I don't think they've gotten any conversation going that I've heard of.
I have not been privy to that. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe Spencer's yelling at his iPhone right now as we're talking about this. I don't know. Sorry, Spence, you can't weigh in right now, so.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe, I mean, call him up on a phone and see his conversation,
Where's the hub gym going to be? Where's it at? We're in a battle for that?
Well, it's clearly going to be in Georgia, wherever he lives in. By Atlantis, so, I mean, I'm sure that's what it would be.
I have our website stats. I know that the majority of Power and Grace followers and website traffic runs through Dallas. I'm just making statements here, but I mean, we got some athletes in Dallas and Dallas area, so
it will be interesting to see. Like, clearly, different programs have their home gym, but it'll be interesting to see if people who follow different programs put their teams together as far as like, okay, the Power and Grace team or this different
right
programming team and stuff, kind of out of a gym that one of them coaches at, but kind of has that affiliate or and that program hook it up where it's, we all follow the same program, let's put a team together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one way to go about it, but I like you said, I don't think I've seen that yet. I mean, we really haven't seen, like, I mean, I guess Invictus or NorCal is kind of that way, but we don't really know what, you know, I guess they're, you know, doing similar programming with that, but
it'll be interesting. I haven't really seen anybody like come out and say, hey, I'm going to go team now. It's kind of I'm not sure if people are thinking about it, still trying to like hook up the recruits or what they're doing, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
What are the deadlines? Like, you got to start being 50% in January. Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's January 1st.
January 1st. So yeah, it's coming up. People need to move, get on the plane and get there and start putting their workouts in, and they're going to get there.
Yeah, and then, like, if you're an affiliate owner and you want to go to a different affiliate, you got to take your name off the affiliate thing and stuff like that. So if you really want to go hardcore with this, there's some time-consuming stuff that you kind of have to do.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a lot. It'll be fun over the next years to watch, like, how the team thing evolves because, you know, it's just so different than an individual sport. I mean, CrossFit's running two whole different things. Team brings all this different aspects where individual doesn't matter, right? Like, none of this stuff plays into individual, and yet you go into team, and now we have all this recruitment and things start going down and programs, and it'd be interesting to see.
Well, I think, too, if you think about it, like, I could see guys who are like 3 or 4 times games athletes who don't see themselves placing any higher or getting a better place than what they ever have, finding a team. So I could see like team becoming the new like premier portion of it. Clearly the individual is always going to have the star athletes, but I could see kind of like Froning went team, or like a Sam Briggs or somebody like that going team. Somebody who has won it or has placed high, who not quite placing as high as anymore, kind of going team and seeing, hey, this is kind of my new avenue of success.
Yeah, almost like the veterans hub, like where they're, you know, okay, I did it, I went individual, now it's time to settle in and join a team.
Yeah, and I think some people who have given up on their dreams of making it to the games or whatever kind of have something revitalized here if they somehow are on a 2-2 team.
Sounds so depressing.
Hey, it's kind of like
someone who's completely given up on everything that they spent the last 5 years every day working towards.
Hey, sometimes you just have to face the facts.
It's over. It's over.
That it is over, and you need to move on to different, bigger and better things.
Right.
All especially, right. I mean, if you think about it, look at the we talked about before we got on air. Look at the Central Regional. I mean, there's some dudes who good luck making it out of that regional if you're not a games-esque athlete.
Are the regional lines, like, are they just going to continue to circle around Cookeville and, like, just get smaller? Like, eventually it's just going to be, like, this little, like, one circle in the middle of America and then the rest of the regions?
I mean, as stacked as I thought our region was last year, you know, Heppner comes back and then you add Fraser. Those are two of, like, the top 6 guys in the world.
Yeah, so for those of you that also don't know, besides Castro doing 6-person team to 4-person team, they redrew a whole bunch of lines. You may have to go look at it. Some of the big changes, I would say, you know, just looking at the map, elsewhere, Europe kind of gets cut in, where at the entire, all of Africa and kind of the Middle East was with Europe. Now they divided that up, so kind of Spain, Italy, Middle East, and Africa are getting the Meridian region, where now there's a Europe that's in the north. There's a Europe region and a Meridian region. So Europe region is kind of Central and North Europe. Latin America gets their own Central and South America. And these aren't all equally sending the same people, I don't believe, either. So they're all the amount of people that get to go are also going to be different on these. So you guys can go to the website, check it out. But, and then I think the big bomb that everybody was like, whoa, was now we have a West regional. So now all of California joins the Northwest plus West Canada. And what's crazy is like, if you go back like four years ago, where now you go from California being 2 different regions to California being a part of this massive landmass now. It's crazy. And I guess that's just the spread of the sport. And then everything else is decently similar across the map.
Well, then does Canada West only get 5 people out of the open?
Let's go look and let's pull up the stats here. West. It just says Canada West, yeah, only gets 5 individuals and 5 teams. West Coast gets 35 individuals and 25 teams. So that is massive. And that's the biggest number of any region gets, would be West Coast 35.
And that's both California's plus Northwest at this point.
Correct.
Yeah, because I feel like with Canada West last year, just dudes, guys that were in Canada West, they get 5 out of the open. They had Brent Fikowski, Joe Scally, Zach Carlin, and Tyson Takazaki, who are 3 or 4 games athletes. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be 4 of your possible 5 qualifiers out of just the Open. And then they had Jonathan Gibson was 2nd in their Open last year. So, I mean, like, to be top 5 out of that region – the Open, there is literally, you can't have one workout that's not fantastic.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I actually, the last episode, I was actually talking to Tia days after this came out. We'd already planned on talking, and it came out, and I was like immediately as soon as I got the phone, I was like, so, how you feeling? Like, how you doing? And she was like, at first, it was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. You know, but now I think she's, you know, she gets dedicated pretty quick. But I mean, when you think of, like, you know, Tia is a, how high caliber an athlete is, and she didn't make the games last year, and you're throwing them all in together again. It's like, that's going to be a crazy place to watch.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, coming out of the California regional, you have, I mean, China Cho and Pacelli and Vobro, if she goes again, Lauren Fisher, Becca Voigt, if she chooses to do it again. I mean, that's just, Lindsay Valenzuela is going to be in better shape probably this year, since she's not going to be 8 months removed from having a baby. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you see how competitive the Northwest or the West regional was last year alone, then you're adding those girls. Then, I mean, that's just going to be, and then Brooke Entz, I guess, is back too. That's going to be
crazy for about, the top. Like, obviously they're trying to do this. Like, their goal is to make it as fair as possible. Right. But when you look at it, one of the regions to lose ground, right, to have less competitors come in, is the South, where I'm at. So they took out Latin America and gave it something else and didn't really add much else to the South. And it's just such a weak region. I mean, I'm here and we have, there's some athletes, but we're not bringing down, like, I mean, like, where you guys are in Central or the West Coast. Like, it's just, there's just not those names there. And now it's even less. Like, I mean, there wasn't much competition coming out of Latin America as far as, like, making the games against these guys. And it's kind of cool they get their own now. But I guess it's just the way the map lays, you can only do so much.
I mean, I feel like they could have, they really wanted to stick with the South theme, throwing SoCal with the South.
Oh, yeah.
And then put NorCal with Northwest and Canada West, and made that. I mean, I understand that would mean splitting up California, which I guess they maybe don't want to do. But if you really want to talk about, like, fairness and going that way, I think that probably would have been the best route.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it used to be. It was used to be a North California region, South California region before they went to the super regionals. So, looking at the map, it could have made sense. But everything else is pretty much the same. Atlantic region is Mid-Atlantic and Southeast. Pacific is Asian and Australia and all the surrounding for that. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, I guess surely they've done their homework, and you kind of have to trust in what they do, because they get to make the rules and see how it goes and everything else. But I think it's going to be very interesting to watch and see
how they go. Well, I know Castro always stated, like, California had its own regional just based off of, like, participation and number of gyms.
Right.
Clearly, he's changed his mind on that as far as I'm guessing he put California with all his people based on games results, which I haven't really looked at. But I think he kind of referenced that as far as where did the California guys place at the games. But, I mean, like, if you're really going to do participation and not do participation anymore and look at – just games results, I think it's time to kind of just redraw everything. And I'll use the Central region as an example. You have Matt Fraser, who's a two-time champ. You have Heppner, who's been top 10. You have Panchik, who's been fourth like 18 times. You also have Alex Anderson, who's been top 10 twice. You've had Street Horner, who was, what, 12th or 13th. You've had a Dancer, who's made the games. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. But, I mean, that's just an absurd amount of guys who are just – unreal fit. And then you have Paul Castillo, who won the region last year. So I feel like if you're looking at participation, fine, keep the region the same. If you're looking at games results, you may have to redraw something.
It's an interesting conversation that, like, which one is fair. Like, is it are you gonna have to redraw it every 5 years based on games, like who makes the games, or is it gonna be purely based on, like, how many athletes they're able to put up? Like, you know, I'm not really sure the date on which one they put, but it's kind of interesting conversation, like, which one is the fair one, right? Like, the NBA East sucks, right? But, like, it's still the NBA East because it's on the east side, and we still have the NBA West that's loaded.
Yep.
But it's still one team over there versus five good teams on the other side, but that's just the way it is unless they go to an undivisioned playoff. And, you know, obviously CrossFit doesn't have a really way to do that, you know, the time zones and issues, and there's just no way to pull that off. So,
but I always think back, like, the Olympics. I mean, like, let's look at wrestling for an example. Russia's, I mean, we won, US won the world title last year, but before that, Russia's been known to be the best wrestling country in the world. And they get one qualifier in each weight class, just like a country that isn't nearly as good would get one qualifier. So, I mean, it's tougher to make it out of Russia. Clearly, it's tougher to make it out of the U.S., but that's just kind of how it goes, and you know going in. So, I mean, if you really want to look at it, you just know going to the Central Regional, hey, I better be on my game or I'm not going to make it, versus being from, I don't know, one of the other regionals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about, I was like, how much I love the CrossFit Games account when they go into the comments and start replying to people who are upset about it, because they really don't care. But, like, you know, people are like, you know, being angry about something, and they come right in and said, you know, spots must be earned. Like, that was their comment. Spots must be earned. So, like,
oh, yeah.
Win it or get it, you know?
Oh, that's the thing, too. Like, when we talk about Canada West, the five people who make it, well, if you're not top five in the open in Canada West, are you really going to make it to the games? I mean, maybe, but your likelihood of, if you're going to make the games, if you're Brent Fikowski, you're going to be top five in the open. I mean, that's right. Just kind of how it goes. I mean, yeah.
Like, you, yeah, the best should be making it through there. And if you're not, I mean, it's not like these guys are held down, right? Like, they have a map too. I can say, oh, like, I can look at, like, South, or look at a, you know, place like Dubai and say, like, oh, that's, if I really want to make it and do that, that's where I need to be. I need to go there. I know that's not possible for everybody, but it's not like you're locked down to your home country, right? We've obviously seen that. Like, it's not like the Olympics. Like, you got to make it out of America, you know, to get there in gymnastics. You know, it's going to be almost impossible. You can go where you like if that's really what you have to do to get out of there.
Well, that's the thing that's interesting, too. And you think about, like, Europe and the women, you always think about Iceland and the daughters. Well, Sarah Sigmund's daughter is in California. Mm-hmm. And then Katrin's been in the East region the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, when you think about the strength of Europe, and you always talk about the daughters, well, two of them aren't even there anymore unless Katrin moved back. I don't know if she did. But the last 2 years, or last year, Sarah Sigmund's daughter and Katrin weren't there. So, I mean, like, that clearly takes away from the strength of that region overall.
Yeah, I doubt either one of them are going back. Nothing that I've heard indicates so. Yeah, and that region also just lost territory. That region got split in half. To another one too. So, yeah, it's not what it seems like in your mind when you think about these places anymore. You're like, oh, you know, that's, I know who's from there, but it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. And I think that, I mean, that's just part of the gig. You know, people aren't just going to always live in their home country when they may have better opportunities other places, or they get asked to move somewhere that for a couple of years they want to move to the U.S. or somewhere else just to kind of try things out.
Yeah. Who came out of the, I'm trying to think of all the people coming out of Atlantic region. We haven't really talked about it.
Men or women?
Either one. I'm just trying to think of who's populating that Atlantic region, which is Atlantic and Southeast.
Well, I know men, you have Noah Olson, Ben Smith, Alex Smith, Travis Mayer, Bramlett's down there, Jacob Anderson's down there. Ryan Elrod made it last year, but he tested positive, I think, post-regional.
Whoops.
Can't quite pull that, yeah. Aaron Hannah's.
He didn't read the new book that came out, I guess.
No, he didn't read the 12 supplements that may or may not be get you to test positive.
Whoops.
I was reading that, thinking I was going to get some type of like crazy thing that was going to help me. I was like, don't take steroids. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take steroids.
Some other publication may have published it. I'm sure you guys can go search it. Steroids. What I don't know what it was called. 12 drugs not to take, or that might test you positive or something.
Yeah, like 12 supplements or something.
I was like, well, number one, there's a lot more than 12.
Yes.
But I guess those are the ones that everybody's getting caught with. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to put that literature in my library.
Well, and everybody who's ever gotten caught didn't mean to actually get caught. It was the supplement company's fault. Oh, so,
man, those supplement companies. Dirty.
Just terrible.
Terrible.
Just terrible. Yeah. And then the Atlantic women are Cassie Lance, Emily Bridgers, Mackenzie Riley, Whitney Geelan, and Anna Tobias, formerly Anna Tunnicliffe, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's a decent region.
That guys' region, when you really think, sit back and think about what those guys, especially some of the up and comers, that's pretty stiff too.
Oh, the guys' region is stacked because they have plenty of dudes like lower even lower, like Daniel Petro, he's a games athlete. Gerald Sasser's in that one. And then you have different dudes. I mean, that's a pretty stacked guys region, especially in the Open. I know that like the Southeast in the Open is just crazy competitive. Some of the scores those guys put up, you have to be ready day and week in and week out. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how those things change, but also be interesting to see how some of those guys, I mean, do they turn the team eventually or how are they going to do that? So
I just like, I feel like guilty being down here now. Like what's going on with the South? I mean, okay. We love Logan. We love you and you're really fit, but the like, I don't know what's happening with the rest here.
No, but it's also one of those things like when is, I mean, either A, people could move there. Cause I know like, Easy Muhammad was in that region last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause he lives in Iowa now. Yeah. So he joined the central region as well. I don't know what his goals are.
So if you're listening, you're talking South region. So that's the combination of South Central, which is like Texas, the Mississippi, and then the, Southwest, which is everything from Texas, over west until you get to California. So basically you're talking Colorado is the major hub over there. And whoops.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. We good?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
It'll be interesting to see, like, I could see that region just pulling itself up, though. I mean, either people moving into it or, but now that I look at it too, somebody had told me, and I don't know if this is true. I'm going to fact check it. Dakota Rager qualified out of that region last year. I believe he was third. Maybe. I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Supposedly he moved to Ohio, of course, which would put him in the central region as well.
Why would you? Must have been like where, like are these conscious choices being made? I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Gosh. I'm trying to kind of look here.
I mean, because the layout of all those regions are the same, right? Like 20 individuals. 20 individuals, yeah. Central, 20 individuals, South, 20 individuals for Atlantic. Like the only one that starts getting weird is like the West and Latin America. Europe is 20, Meridian's 20. And then the Asia, Australia. Australia is loaded with 30 while Asia gets 10.
Yeah, and Castro made a comment too about like the next big thing he was thinking about doing because of participation was making Asia its own region.
We can so do this.
So I don't know like what he's really trying to do, but yeah, I just looked it up. Dakota Rager is part of the central region too.
All right.
So there's another guy out of the South and into the central.
Great.
No, but I think too, like you could see, I mean, people just elevate their game in the South. I think making it to the games, especially like you saw that with Logan last year, he made it to the games 2 years ago. And then last year, like his game was just at a whole new level.
Yep.
Especially when he made it to the game. So I could see that happening in that region pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. And you never know the athletes are going to pop up and stuff like that. And we'll see. The only other thing we haven't really covered, the East regionals, Canada East and Northeast.
No longer has Fraser.
No longer has Fraser. I'm assuming still has Katrin.
And Vellner's in that one. Vellner. That men's region's pretty stacked, actually. Last year it was Fraser, Vellner, Tim Paulson, Cody Mooney, and Michael Palamba. But then, I mean, you have guys. I know that Reebok CrossFit One sent a team last year, so they took a couple guys. What other teams are in that one? The Milford's in that region and stuff. So, I mean, that's a tough region, especially in the Open, too. If you looked at their Open scores, if you legit didn't have top scores week in and week out, you weren't even making it to their regional.
Yep. They split that one. So, Northeast is getting 25. Canada East is getting 15.
Which probably, I mean, makes sense.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of, I think Canada gets the short change. I don't know how much more competitive Canada East is compared to Canada West, but well, I mean, Canada West only getting five.
Getting five. Yeah. I mean, that's the lowest. I'm looking, Canada West is getting the lowest amount. I mean, you know, lower than Central and South America and lower than Asia, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I just want to look at, like, what numbers did Castro and crew look at to, like, let's just say, keep the South intact the way it was, and then give Canada West five people, and put in all of California with all of Northwest, and making that only 35. Because in the grand scheme of things, that's 35 now, which before, if you think about it, between SoCal, NorCal, and Northwest, they got 60 to regionals last year.
Yeah.
Or 65 or whatever. Right. And now they only get 35. So you're cutting that athlete pool in half.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll be interested to see what he looked at to determine what.
As much as I wish that we could get that info, we'll probably never know.
No,
I don't. Insider comes out and says something, or some rumors get floated around. I don't know. We'll have to dig to the insiders. Spencer, when you're listening to this, call your people.
Yeah, because I feel
what's going on.
Castro clearly doesn't let his secrets out very easily. It'll be interesting to see. It's always interesting to hear some of his behind-the-scenes stuff, talking to people who are close to him or talking to people who have worked with him before. So, I mean, it would be interesting to get inside his head to see why he decided all this the way he did.
Yeah, should be interesting, though. But, I mean, in the end, it's you got to get in it to win it. And no games ticket for sure is easy, but even, I mean, nowadays, I mean, making a regionals is, you know, it's tough. And so, like, you've got to be on your game all year round. So
you have to be dedicated to it. And I mean, it's one of those things where if it's not your main focus, it's going to be tough to make it to regional. And just being at the regionals, it was just a whole different ball game, even from 2015 being there to 2017, you could tell that the game just changed. Even in those 2 years, from the first year of the Super Regional to the third year, like, things had just changed. You could tell dudes had taken their game to a whole new level based off of, I don't know if they changed their life so that their training was more of a focal point, or they reached more of a better point of where they were with their training and their performance. But yeah, it just, at this point, the game's changed since 2 years ago.
Well, and the teams, it's only going to get harder to make regionals with teams either. Like, even with the four person, like we talked about, some people are going to make it easier, but the competition is going to go up, and it's along with it. And so, like, you mean when you're on teams, I think before, really stacked teams didn't really care what region they're in, right? Like, it's like, okay, well, you know, we just need to get to regionals and handle our business. And I think now they have to start looking at party lines and start thinking, like, if you're a team in Canada West, guess what? You only get five too. Like,
yeah, and with how they're doing this, they need to change the open. I mean, like, I understand they have to keep it the 5 week open, but I just don't feel like it can just continually be the same test, especially for teams. And it'll be interesting for teams too. Like, is it going to be the same as it used to be, where the whole affiliate can count for your team score, or is it going to be like where team series was, where it's just four people? You're going to have to figure it out and get your four people. I've been waiting for them to make the team open, literally like the team series where you do the workouts as a team.
Yeah.
Instead of just, oh, let's just add a bunch of individual scores. You can have all your specialists from your gym and get your team there. And then you show up to the regional and you don't have one all around athlete and you just get smashed. So yeah,
I don't think, I'm reading through the notes and the press releases and stuff like that. It didn't say anything about, changing it to the team style, as far as, and maybe that's where they're holding on to the affiliate cup idea, right? Is like your affiliate helped get you there. They have to be, I mean, there's some data here looking, because like you look at the odd things like Asia to Australia. Okay. You know, they're getting 10 individuals in Asia, and Australia is getting 30 individuals, but then Asia is only getting 7 teams and Australia is getting 23 teams. Like, those are very specific numbers. Like, they've got to be looking at something, like something is drawing those lines the way that they fell.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you wish you knew. And I clearly, like, in that situation, you know, Australia is just better than Asia at this point. But I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if things start changing. Like, if Canada West gets 3 of the individual qualifiers this year out of that regional, like, are you going to change it, or are you just going to keep it the same and say, hey, this is how it is, you're going to have to deal with it?
Yeah. Here's the statement from the general manager of the games, is Justin Bergs. In 2015, we made the decision to move from 17 qualifying events to 8. The level of excitement and competition has stepped up, and the change also resulted in a more competitive field at the games. Since then, Europe has consistently performed well at all stages of the season and earned additional spots. Latin America has become a huge part of the Open and proven they deserve their own event and to send a representative to Madison. They didn't put it in this release, and I think it's one later, so I'm not looking at the freshest one. But I also believe they changed, like, with these new regions, it's different amount of people that you get to send. I think Latin America is only getting to send one spot. So they did change. It's not just because they get a region, they get to send as many people. Either. Those numbers are going to be different, too.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting because I think – I actually think the South region, which we talked about, I think – I mean, they actually performed pretty well looking at the games last year. I mean, comparatively, I mean, Logan was 11th. And then you had – wasn't Dakota Rager was 22nd. Travis Williams was 23rd. So, I mean, compared to some other regions, they actually – especially, like, compared to California. California, I think, had four guys in the bottom 12, which – probably killed their region.
Right.
But I mean, it's, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think that the Europe thing, they clearly compete really well and perform really well, but I don't know if they ever competed or performed at the point where, like, they deserve that many spots. Right. I think that kind of weighs heavily on the women, which then you could also say, like, Australia may deserve more spots just on their own based on women since they were top two last year.
Right.
But I think Europe had four women in the top 10, which clearly is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see how this all rolls out and how athletes respond. But like you said, the big thing is going to be watching teams, right? Like who starts to form January 1 deadline, when they get in there, when they start. So once we get some more info, it'll be cool. We'll hop back on here and chat more about it.
We need to start creeping on people's Instagram, see if they're going to drop the bombs or not.
Oh, yeah, right? You got to find that little Twitter, and they in NBA it's popular. They'll just, like, post, like, a plane and, like, some other emoji that, like, talks about the city they're going to.
I know.
You got to find out and see where it's happening.
I mean, it'd be interesting, too. Like, I think big gyms now have the advantage, too, that they can hire these people as coaches and such. So it'd be interesting to see if people start hiring coaches for the season to see – to get them there to compete for them.
What's going on in pro wrestling right now? Anything exciting?
Oh my gosh, pro wrestling! I mean, Clash of Champions is in a week and a half. Survivor Series was a couple weeks ago. It was killer. I mean, I feel like I'm just getting too much into it. Where it's not like I enjoy the wrestling, all that stuff. But then you look at the storylines and how stupid they are, and it's. You kind of get too much into it, but
you just get it. You're going to work angry the next day if something happened in the storyline.
I used to, I used to get upset if just an unbelievable result happened. Like one, like last year they had Goldberg come back at age 50 and beat Brock Lesnar in like 8 seconds. And it was just like Goldberg could barely move. And it was one of those things where it just wasn't realistic, but clearly I'm watching scripted wrestling. So it's,
do you think CrossFit needs more like backstage trash talk? Wouldn't that be cool? Like if they like brought a microphone back to the warm up area and like, they're calling people out on the big screen in the arena. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I feel like they should do that. Like the pre event.
We need pressers.
Like, I feel like with how good he is and the type of attitude he has, Matt Fraser could be, like, the top heel in the business.
Oh, gosh. That's what I need is, like, I need them to set up, like, actual, like, pressers, and I need a press pass. Because, I mean, I'll go with it. I'll set up.
No, I agree. And I think they need to see more. I mean, if they could just have, like, trash talk in general to get some stuff going, because I mean, I feel like the CrossFit community is more than willing to comment and kind of talk crap about anything. So if athletes did, then they would really form some unity and kind of form like sides, this guy versus this guy, instead of just cheering for everybody. That's like if you went to the Cavs versus Warriors and you just cheered for everybody who got a basket. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel like.
Can you imagine someone's like setting up for a clean on the clean ladder that they just missed, and all of a sudden, like one section of the crowd starts booing.
Boo. Yeah, I mean, clearly it's not like what CrossFit was built on, but we talked about already that CrossFit's changed. And I know, like last year when Wasatch beat Mayhem, I know like when they got announced as a winner, people booed them because people hate watching Froning lose for whatever reason, and Like, they got booed, and I know that they came out and said, hey, we like the boos. Like, we get it. We're athletes. We played different sports. We get it that not every fan's going to want us to win.
Right.
It shouldn't be like, everybody should cheer for everybody because right. everybody gets an award.
Right. Yeah, all right. So we need to bring in trash talk, bring in pressers. I'll send the memo over to CrossFit HQ tomorrow morning.
Okay, send that in.
See I know it's part of it. Done. All right, man. Well, I'll let you get out of here, and we'll definitely do this again once around the open time.
Yeah, and we'll have to bring Spencer on too. I want to hear his little opinions on stuff. Well, I wouldn't want to bring him on anytime soon. All he'll talk about is Georgia and how awesome Georgia is. So,
right.
I'm not going to hear the end of that now until at least mid-January.
Yeah, we can get it. We can get out of the season and get that going for sure.
Awesome.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey again, everyone. Thank you very much for listening to Power and Grace Radio. We appreciate that support. If you've got anything to weigh in on this topic, it's definitely not one we're going to let go anytime soon. So on social media, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Comment below when we post this thing, and we'll try to answer some more questions. See you next time.